The Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. And it's Thursday already. Sure, happy it's Thursday. Very, very busy news day. We've got a lot of stuff to cover. I'm reading the chat room, which is open at whatreallyhappened.com, and just seeing we have people literally from all over the world who are tuned into this show and commenting on it. We have some big news taking place in the South Pacific over toward Australia. We're going to be covering that a little bit later because it is actually potentially impactful here in Hawaii. But before we do that, we need to get on to some of the more globally interesting stuff here, and I keep forgetting to turn off that little notification sound from the chat room. And here's the situation. We have a very sad anniversary taking place. It is the 6th anniversary of the invasion of Iraq. You probably heard that on the news break before we came into the show. 6 years we have been in Iraq. That's longer than we were in World War II. And, you know, we basically moved in 2003, and we're spending all that reconstruction money. We were told that the oil was going to pay for the reconstruction. That didn't happen. We're pouring all this money into Iraq all this time. 6 years afterwards, the drinking water in Baghdad is still not safe to drink. And by drinking water, I mean the tap water. You can buy bottled water and filtered water, but the water coming out of the taps in the bathrooms, in the kitchens, is not safe to drink still. And they had a huge cholera outbreak last year. It's still there. I mean, you turn on the tap in the sink, and you will smell the raw sewage in there. And this shows that certainly in terms of the care of this occupied population, that the U.S. has absolutely failed as any kind of a manager of the civil infrastructure there. We're supposed to be taking care of those people as long as we occupy that territory. That is under the international rules of war and the Geneva Conventions. We're supposed to make sure they have the basic necessities of life, and clean water is one of them. And this is a capital city. We're not talking way out, you know, in the boonies here. This is the capital city. And the tap water, 6 years after the fact, still can't drink it. That's how badly we have failed the people in Iraq. Now, news, the Dow actually dropped today. We've been looking at all these upward, and there was some pretty obvious indications of manipulation going there, and at least one hard upward shove was visible on the chart today. But it really fell at the opening, then it got shoved up, then it fell again, and it ended 86 points down. Is this the end of the trend? Maybe. Again, ultimately, despite all the market rigging and all the game being played, the market is about value. Is the value there? Nobody really knows. Now, a big piece of news that is probably going to have significant impact on our economy in the immediate future, a panel studying the problem of the world economy at the United Nations will recommend that the world cease using the dollar as the international reserve currency. This, of course, is a major, major blow to the dollar, because the use of the dollar as the international oil currency, the international reserve currency, is what props up the value of the dollar outside the United States. Without those props, the dollar is going to plummet until it finds its natural value. And folks, right now, that isn't a whole heck of a lot. So things are about to get a lot worse. The UN, of course, is still pushing for global taxation and global control, and we're going to run it all for you. And this is complete and utter nonsense, because globalism got us into this mess. More globalism is not going to get us out. And that is absolutely the fact of that. Saying that more globalism is going to fix the economy is like saying we can save the Titanic by backing up and ramming into that iceberg one more time. Doesn't make sense, and, you know, but they're trying to push the agenda. They're trying to use the crisis to push the agenda. And whether the agenda really has anything to do with the crisis or not, it's irrelevant. It's exploiting the moment to push the agenda. It's always about the agenda. It's not about doing good. It's not about taking care of the people. It's not about taking care of the economy. It's not about doing well for the country. It is pushing the agenda, pushing the ideology, pushing that forward. And again, this is an artifact of having a government that is almost completely populated by lawyers and accountants, and there really is an absolute dearth of people connected to the real world in the halls of power of Washington, D.C. We need more carpenters in there. We need more teachers. We need more bricklayers. And we need more doctors. I mean, look what a wonderful job Dr. Ron Paul has been doing all these years. If we had more people like him, more doctors, more people who are actually experienced with being out here in the world making the society work. If they were in Congress, I think we'd have a very, very different set of circumstances. But it's all lawyers and accountants, and so every solution, every problem they hit, the solution is going to be change the bookkeeping, change the rules, pass a new law. And I'm sort of wondering, if you took, you're talking about the Titanic. Let's go back to our hypothetic Titanic, and you've got nothing but lawyers and accountants on it, and the ship starts to sink. What are they going to do? They're going to pass laws against sinking? Or they're going to change the way they calculate the rate of sinking so that it doesn't look so bad? Doesn't look like they really would know how to do much of anything else right now, and certainly the way they're thrashing around with our current economy. I mean, right now, let's see, consumer prices rose 0.4% in February, mostly focused in clothing and gas, and gas prices are going up, folks. Took me $40 to fill the tank this morning. Hadn't seen that since the last big gas price run-up, but it did top. It was $40.30 to fill the car today. So the gas prices are going up again. Meanwhile, the U.S. jobless rolls have swelled to a record 5.47 million. Now, that number is only the number of people who are collecting unemployment insurance, and it does not include those people who have been unemployed for so long that they have run out of benefits without finding a new job, and it certainly doesn't include the people who have simply quit looking for work. So the real unemployment number is considerably higher. This is just, again, it's a change in the way they're keeping count. They change the rules by which they define these certain things. They can keep the numbers looking low. But even so, this is still a very, very alarming number in this country. Now, I got onto the TV early this morning before I had to go out and do day job kind of things. And first thing I saw was Barack Obama doing his town hall meeting in California, and he looks good in that suit, and he's got the microphone, and he's working that crowd. And you know something? I have absolutely no doubt that Barack Obama, under any other circumstances, would make a great game show host. I could see him as the master of ceremonies for the Academy Awards. But when does he get off the road trip, go back to his office, and start actually being the president? Every time I turn on the TV, he's making another speech. He's out there being a cheerleader and rah-rahing the American people to trust us, stick with it, we're going to work our way out of this problem. And he talks about all the things we'd love to see happen, but he hasn't come up with how to make it work. And I got to tell you, talk about not getting into the saddle. And this is the situation we have here. He's won the election. He's not doing the job. He's just going around. He's still speechifying left and right. And he's just this incredible, incredible disappointment. Now, news story that's just breaking. A former Bush official has basically come out. Lawrence Wilkerson, he was chief of staff to Colin Powell, and he's basically come out and said, you know something? A lot of the people in Guantanamo were innocent of any wrongdoing. We've been telling you that for months, of course. But now we're hearing it from a Bush administration official, that they knew some of the people they had in Guantanamo were innocent. We told you before that a lot of these people, the U.S. puts out a reward for anybody who's connected to Al-Qaeda. A bunch of people want some money. They grab this guy. They tie him up. They beat him over the head, and they take him to the army and say, yes, he's Al-Qaeda. Give us our money. They take their money and run off into the night laughing. And the U.S. Army has got somebody that they've been told is Al-Qaeda, and they start torturing him to find out information, which this guy doesn't have, because he's not really Al-Qaeda. And some of these people died. And it's nice to hear administration officials finally admit what you and I have known for all this time, that a lot of these people were innocent. And according to this Wilkerson, some of the people who are still in Guantanamo right now are innocent. Remember this little document that was being circulated where everybody confessed to 9/11 down there and it didn't make any sense? Well, looks like this has fallen apart. All right, we got to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the Tonga quake and volcano. A lot of people are writing in about that. A lot of people in the chat room talking about that. Join us on the air, 800-259-9231. We'll be right back.
This This is Cascadia Public Radio.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We've got a caller waiting on the line, but before we get to Randy here, I do want to talk very briefly about the quake and volcano in Tonga. Now, last year it was discovered that there is this huge group of undersea volcanoes near the island of Tonga in the South Pacific, some 36. It's still approximate. They haven't succeeded in counting them all. It is thought that these volcanoes are the source of the El Nino warming current that stretches from the east of Australia across the Pacific, and when it's really in full tilt boogie, it noticeably affects the weather. And everyone's saying, well, where is this El Nino coming from? Well, guess what? Undersea volcanoes, which we had speculated about that, I mean, years and years and years ago. And when you're talking about that much heat entering the ocean, it has to be something by nature. Humans can't do it. We're just not that wonderful yet. So anyway, a couple of days ago, one of these volcanoes really erupted. And it's kind of eerie when you've got an undersea volcano because you've got water, and then right in the middle of the water, you've got this plume of ash and smoke and all this incredible amounts of greenhouse gas. And, you know, the global warming cultists are going nuts because they can't blame it on people. And another interesting phenomenon, I don't think it's in the video that we have linked at whatreallyhappened.com, but you'll see this huge amount of floating rock. It's pumice, and it's basically popped up like popcorn, filled with carbon dioxide during the volcanic process, and it solidifies with these millions of bubbles inside. And so it is actually light enough to float on water. You'll actually see it in gardening shops. It's sold as a decorative material. And it'll be just all over the ocean around one of these erupting volcanoes. So it'll probably, in about another 3 or 4 weeks, we'll see bits of it washing up on the beaches here in Hawaii. I'll grab a piece as a souvenir. But earlier today, had a huge 7.9 earthquake. It was well away from the occupied islands of Tonga, but still 7.9. That's a pretty big wallop. There is a tsunami warning in effect for those nearby islands. Obviously, there is no tsunami warning in effect for Hawaii at this time, but they are saying that after 2:30, which is, well, 2 hours from now, that we should expect possible increases in sea levels on our beaches, not major, but noticeable, and some very strong, unusual offshore currents. So that's where we are with the Tonga quake and volcano, and this may be it. There may be something really big getting ready to go on down there, because when you have 36 volcanoes in this one area, you may actually be looking at 36 vents from a single supervolcano. And there's never been a supervolcano eruption in recorded human history. We see the scars at Yellowstone and Toba and several others. We've never actually seen one during recorded human history. So who knows? Something really big is going down there on the floor of the ocean, and we're going to be keeping an eye on it because, frankly, I'm closer to it than you are, except for our friend in the chat room who lives in Australia. And I guess they're just really, really focusing on this right now. Okay, we're going to go to the phones. Randy in California, aloha. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind?
Mike, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
Hey, Mike, before I ask you a question, there's something I would like to say to you personally, and I think I speak on behalf of many people. I've been following your website since 1997. I got my first computer, mm-hmm. and I found your website. And Mike, I have to tell you, you are personally responsible for giving me the best education that for free that I could ever got from any college, or everything I've learned in all my schooling and college. Mike, hands down, you have been the number one website, and I just want to personally thank you for that.
Oh, well, thank you very much for those very kind words. When you started saying you are responsible for it, I thought you were going to blame me for, like, breaking up your marriage or something like that. So I'm glad
no,
it turned out.
No, Mike, I really mean it. thank
well,
you so much.
Thank you very much for those kind words. And
I hope you're safe. I just watched the some videos of the volcano eruption. Spectacular, mm-hmm. frightening. There was a boat right there. I don't know if you've seen them. You probably have. Unbelievable. And I,
yeah.
You know, I was just worried about your safety. I'm glad you and your family are safe.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, the reason I really called is about this MIAC report that is surfaced now on the Internet.
Yes.
It is unbelievably disturbing, to say the least. It basically amounts to profiling by the state police of, you know, people that have Ron Paul bumper stickers or Chuck Baldwin bumper stickers. You know, we're talking about a sitting congressman, and these people are basically saying that you could be a terrorist if you have a Ron Paul sticker on your car or Chuck Baldwin. It's completely unacceptable and unbelievable. And
I just
wanted to get your take.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, this is not the first time this kind of thing has shown up, because some years back we were sent a copy of this brochure that the FBI printed up and was distributing to police departments around America. And in it, it said, you know, look for the following activities. And it had a whole bunch of very benign activities, like, you know, political protests, and included in there people talking about the Constitution. And it was very shocking, because it says if you encounter somebody who's talking about the constitutional rights and the Bill of Rights and stuff, this is a potential terrorist, and you need to take down their name and report them to, and there was where they were supposed to do all that reporting. And we pointed out at the time, you know, this is the beginnings of political repression. This has nothing to do with law enforcement. And this MIAC report is exactly the same thing. They're starting to reach a point where they are criminalizing anybody who doesn't wear the correct uniform and salute the correct salute to the correct flag, anybody who is the least bit out of line politically is going to start being abused and punished. I mean, there's this story about Wayne Manson, who's one of our compatriots here in the online community.
I read that on your site. Unbelievable. Another unbelievable example.
And they harassed him, and they've arrested him for being drunk in public without even a breathalyzer test or anything. It's just harassment. The U.S. government is terrified of the blogosphere and the alternative media. We are exposing all the corrupt, wrong things they're doing, all the lies that they use to control us, and we're creating this very skeptical population. And a skeptical people is a free people, and that is the most wonderful thing. You shouldn't trust anybody, not even me. Just question everything. Question everything. Okay?
You know something, Mike? I do. I do. And thanks to you, I think a lot of people are. You know, I listen to Alex Jones a lot. I listen to you a lot. I listen to Jeff Rentz a lot. And I was listening to Alex Jones earlier today, and he had a police officer on who called in from a state police and anonymously, and we're talking about that report. And he was saying how a lot of people within the departments, they got this bulletin, and they were talking about gun confiscation and the Second Amendment. And he was saying that a lot of people in the departments are really disturbed by this. I just want to say that I just want to remind these people that they're on the right track. You know, he was talking about gun confiscation.
Okay, Randy, we got to take a break here. Randy, stay on the phone. I'm going to bring you back after we come back from these commercials, okay? All right, we're going to be back after these words from our sponsors.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back here. We're talking with Randy about the very obvious signs that the U.S. government has grown afraid of the American people. We know they're attempting to, even though they can't ban guns under the Constitution, they're trying to restrict the availability of ammunition, or at least make it so expensive that it's going to be very, very costly for people to try and stockpile ammunition for the event of a new civil war. We know that various state legislatures are passing these sovereignty resolutions, which are very, very similar to the political maneuverings that we were seeing before the American Civil War. So we're definitely building up to a head here. We know that the U.S. government is trying to build all these emergency detention centers. They've got these pain ray guns they've invented. They used your tax money to do that. That's the really insulting. They're using your money to build a cage around you so they can get more money out of you. That's really, in a nutshell, what's going on here. So, Randy,
It's true, Mike. Mike, you know, Sam, I want to get back to that MIAC report and this police
yes.
officer that called in today.
Yes.
I think this is really critical. This is somebody on the inside. You know, it seemed that the trigger, what really upset this police officer, was the gun ban bill. You know, last week the Department of Defense came out and issued that directive that they were no longer going to recycle military-used brass for, like, .223 and .308 mm-hmm. cartridges. You know, they said they were going to shred it instead of selling it to, you know, the people that remanufacture it and reload as a business. And they received so many calls, so many people got on the phone and sent letters and emails and called their representatives that within a few days, they reversed it. They reversed it. It was a victory. It was a victory for us, mm-hmm. for the little man. But to get back to this police officer, that was the key issue. That's what upset him the most was that, wow, I could lose my guns. Okay?
Yes.
And my point is that I just want to tell him, thank you, and all the other military and police officers, thank you. If that's what it takes to wake them up, it's wonderful. But just a little reminder that is part of our Constitution. You know, this pocket Constitution is a terrorist book, according to the MIAC. Okay? Well, I just want to let these police officers know that guess what? That happens to be in that little pocketbook. It's called the Second Amendment, and that's what gives us the right to protect all the other rights that we have and all the other amendments. That is the ultimate protection. Okay? So, you know, I just want these police officers to know, go back and read the Bill of Rights and see how many other rights we've already lost are really being infringed on. You know, if it takes the Second Amendment for these guys to see what's happening, it's wonderful. But that is the one that allows us to protect the rest of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. It is not a terrorist document. And these people know it. You know, the line in the sand is being drawn. And you know something? You're going to have to pick a side. And these guys know what's right or wrong. They know.
Yes,
just
they do.
Just a reminder, it's not just the Second Amendment. That's what gives us as citizens the right to fight for the rest of them. You know, so
that's
it's
absolutely
not just
correct.
The Second Amendment. It's about all of them, guys. Read the Bill of Rights. Read the first 10 amendments. That's what it's about.
Oh, don't stop at 10. Don't stop at 10. You got to at least go as far as number 13, the Involuntary Servitude Amendment, because that one is, you know, the House has already passed this national service bill that is going to require young people to serve in this domestic security force that Obama is setting up. It is a direct violation of the 13th Amendment. Prohibition against involuntary servitude. I don't know how they're planning on getting around that, but, you know, clearly Barack Obama has absolutely no respect for the Constitution and the rule of law.
Well, you know, something, Mike, you're right. The reason I said to read the first 10, because that is the Bill of Rights, and you know, something, I don't want to give some of these people, like, too much. I hate to even
too much
that,
homework,
okay?
Huh? Too much homework.
Too much homework. Read the
and
first
And there's going to be a pop quiz next
rights,
period,
okay?
By the way.
Yeah,
all right.
You know, they got number two down, and they're starting to pay attention now. But,
yes.
But number two is just part of a whole series. You know, start
yes.
reading them all. Start reading them all over again. Everybody, military, police, politicians, read it. Read them, fellas. It's not a goddamn piece of paper. Read it and pay attention to it and abide by it. If it takes a Second Amendment for you to finally get your head out of your butts and see what's going on, that's wonderful. But read the rest of it and enforce it. You know, Mike, one other thing, I'll let you go.
Okay.
The bankers, okay? You know, the police, ultimately, they don't realize that's who they're working for. At the highest levels, they're protecting these crooks that are robbing their own families, the police
yes.
families. They're protecting them, okay? And now the mortgage situation, I'm sorry, I get emotional. It's so disturbing. But, you know, these people that are losing their homes right now because of these filthy, crooked bankers, you know, I'm asking police officers all over, you know, you can't go evicting these people. You know, they send SWAT teams and sheriffs to evict these poor people while the bankers are stealing our tax dollars, Mike. It breaks my heart.
Yes. Well, you know, I've been saying for months now, we are living in a fascist economy where profits are kept private and losses are socialized. And yeah, very much. I mean, we've got that landmark lawsuit that came out of, I guess it was Los Angeles, where the court said the police aren't really obligated to protect the ordinary people. And time and again, we will see what the police are here to do is to protect the money. They're here to protect property. They're here to protect money, even if necessary, against the American people. So, unfortunately, I feel like we probably are going to start seeing riots in this country, as we're seeing in so many other parts of the world. And the police, for the most part, are going to be ordered to protect the political leadership and protect the business leaders from the ordinary Americans. I would hope that some police and army would change sides. They may even do so. We're hearing more and more about foreign military who are refusing to obey some of the orders of their government now. We could easily see that here.
I couldn't agree more, Mike. And
okay.
You know, on that subject, let me say this, Mike, is that, you know, we all Americans, we all go home and want to relax after our jobs, after 9 to 5. And all I could say to the military and the police out there is, you know, people are so fed up with what's going on. And they're pushing us, Mike. They're
yes.
pushing us. They're testing us every single day. That's all this is. But the first time that the police or the military, especially the military, fire on an American citizen, Mike, it's all over. It's the beginning of the end.
Yes.
And what I'm saying to these people is when that happens, you're not going to be able to punch out at 5 o'clock and go home and make believe and turn on the game and make believe that everything's fine. It's going to change our country forever, people, and people need to understand that. When the first shot gets fired, God forbid it does, but they want it, Mike. They want
mm-hmm.
it bad. But when
yes,
that
they do.
Happens, we're going to be forever changed. This is not Kent State, and people, you know, people don't have muskets anymore. You know what I mean, Mike? This is not like...
Well, actually, as a matter of fact, I do, but that's beside the point.
Well, I'm just saying that it would be ugly. And you know, everybody would lose in that scenario. They're pushing it. They want it. It's the classic order out of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
That's a classic scenario. But, you know, these people have to understand, hey, we all live on the same block. And if this happens, then you can't go home. You know,
okay,
Yeah.
Randy, I got to interrupt you here because we're at the end of the segment. We're going to have to let you go here, but I did want to say, I am personally of the opinion that this next revolution will not be fought and won with firearms anyway. It's going to be fought and won with keyboards and radio stations, and hopefully there will be very, very little blood. That is my ambition for this. Randy, we got to let you go. Thank you very much for the call. Call in again. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
When all this twists and steel, was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the last segment of today's show. We're going to go back to the phones to Bill in Texas. Aloha, Bill. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Well, it's been 40 years since I graduated high school. It's been a whole year studying the Constitution and the Founding Fathers. Unfortunately, I think I forgot about half of it, but I forget, isn't there a clause that anything that violates the Constitution is automatically null and void? And I've never heard it referred to or used in any court case or anything. But I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
I'm not sure what you're referring to. I mean, technically, the implication is that anything that violates the Constitution is automatically illegal. However, as a matter of practicality, it has to go before the United States Supreme Court in order for them to pass a judgment on whether something is constitutional or not. And it does flip back and forth quite a bit. The one amendment everybody does need to be paying attention to right now is the 10th Amendment, which is the one which is a blanket ban on the federal government simply assuming any more rights and powers that are not already explicitly granted to it by the Constitution. And it is on the basis of this, the 10th Amendment, that all these states are filing these sovereignty movements, bills that they're passing in their legislature.
Well, one thing I do remember in school is that one of the founding fathers said that there's no interpretation needed. It's face value is what we mean. There's no hidden meaning in the Constitution.
Yeah, well, that's the way it should be. But again, everybody wants to try and interpret and twist it, and sometimes they do it just by changing the language. I mean, just the Second Amendment, to give you one example, they talk about a well-regulated militia, and the modern definition of a regulation is a law or a rule. And they use that to say, okay, well, what the Second Amendment means is that the militia must be subject to the rule of law, hence it is the National Guard and the Army. But back in 1776, when they were writing up the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, regulated was a mechanical term. The regulation on a steam engine is the governor. The regulation on a rifle is the sights. So a well-regulated militia meant one that was well-equipped with the very best arms that they could find. And over time, our government tries to change the meaning of words in order to change the meaning of what the Constitution says. And it's just a way. Again, they're pushing ideology and agenda. And I think back to what Ben Franklin said when they walked out of Liberty Hall after drafting the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And he was asked, what have you created? And he says, we've created a republic if you can keep it. And so it was even recognized back then by the Founding Fathers that it was going to be a very, very difficult situation to hold the country in the form it was created. Inevitably, corrupt people would come along and try and corrupt the system to their own particular ends and their own particular greed. And that was the reason they created the country the way they did, with a crippled and weakened central federal government, was the recognition that politicians, by and large, are a pretty slimy, scurvy, you know, bunch of people who will, in fact, sell their own mother for a campaign contribution. And the way the United States was designed was to try and limit the ability of these kinds of people from causing a lot of harm should they come to power. Because power attracts the very kind of people who shouldn't have it. And the Founding Fathers knew it. They had all of British history to look back on, to look at all the mistakes, and they tried to design a country that would prevent those mistakes from happening as long as possible. They knew it wouldn't last forever. Even Thomas Jefferson predicted in his own writings that he did not expect the United States of America to last very long at all, that there would be a revolution, and his experiment would be swept away to make way, hopefully, for something even better. And, you know, that's where we are right now. I'm absolutely convinced that the United States is going to go the way of the USSR, hopefully with very little bloodshed, and we need to start thinking, what kind of a nation do we want to have in the aftermath? Because I'll tell you this, the people who corrupted the United States to personally profit, they're already thinking, what are we going to do if the U.S. falls? How will we set up a new Federal Reserve and force everybody to go along with that? How will we convince them that they've got to pay off the bills of the old government? How will we continue to loot the people? So we, the people, have to be seriously thinking and planning about what kind of a nation we want to live in after the USA is gone. Anyway, Bill, thanks for the call. I guess we lost his connection there, and he's not there anymore. So getting back here, and we talked about this story yesterday a little tiny bit. Here in Hawaii, we have this thing called the Super Ferry. I probably ought to do that in the past tense. Monday, the Hawaii Supreme Court struck down a law that had been passed to allow the Super Ferry to continue to operate while going through the environmental impact statement. And the environmental impact statement has not been completed. Somebody dropped the ball along there. There is no real indication that the Super Ferry is, in fact, environmentally dangerous. It's a catamaran. It's very fuel efficient. It's designed to be clean and green. But there were a lot of objections put up about, oh, it's this and it's that and it's noisy, it's messy, it's going to ram the whales. And as a listener wrote in to me the other day, they've been running ferries through the Vancouver Channel for 50 years, and there's a lot of whales there. My wife and I used to go out on the little ferries to watch the minke whales, who'd come in and see what all the fuss was about, and then they'd swim away. They've never had a whale collision on the Vancouver ferry. It just doesn't happen. The whales are too smart. They hear the ferry coming. They get out of the way. So big stink about, oh, they're not environmentally sound. We're going to get rid of them today. The company that owns the Hawaii Super Ferry has announced they're going to take the boat. They're going to find another market for it. They're going to take their business elsewhere. All those people working for the ferry are now out of jobs. And the inter-island airlines are cheering, and the outer island car rental companies are cheering because their businesses are protected, and people can't come to the island with their own cars on the ferry anymore. And hallelujah, the money is going to pour. Now, this same day that this announcement was made that we're losing our ferry system, this same day it was announced that the United States Navy will not even have to pay a fine for dumping 7,000 gallons of raw sewage onto the reef that it rammed with the USS Port Royal. So don't tell me that this has anything to do with environmentalism, because if environmentalism was the real concern here, we would tell the U.S. Navy to get their ships away from our reefs, stop ramming the reefs, stop dumping raw sewage on the reefs, stop ramming Japanese fishing boats and killing those student fishing people. But no, ram the reef, dump the sewage, not even a fine. But the ferry, which was so useful to ordinary working Hawaiians who have to take their business to other islands in the state. We're an archipelago. We have companies here in Oahu that must go to the other islands to do their business. Now they've got to go back and use the airlines with all the added work and all the added expense and all the added, hassles of going through the TSA. And so don't tell me this has anything to do with the environment, because that ferry used a lot less fuel for the amount of load it was carrying between the islands than those jet planes do. So this is a classic case of something that was really good for the ordinary people getting driven out of business to protect the profits of the established privileged corporations. And I know times are tight. We lost Aloha Airlines, and we're down to Hawaiian Airlines is the big one, and a couple of turboprop piston whackers. But, we've had the Matson ships going back and forth between the islands for years, and nobody ever kicked up a stink. It was only the ferry, because it was a threat to the airlines and the car rental places on the outer islands. That's why the big stink came up. That's where it came from. Had nothing to do with environmentalism, because if the environmental concern was real, they would be screaming about all the damage the U.S. Navy does to our reefs, to our dolphins and whales with that super powerful sonar. So, no, this is definitely, environment my gluteus. What can I tell you that? All right, last little story for today. Russia has announced that when the START 1 treaty expires at the end of this year, they are prepared to deploy their new nuclear warheads on their nuclear missiles. This is the warhead, as I understand it, this is the new warhead they've developed, which is able to actually maneuver when it re-enters the atmosphere. So this very expensive and very dubious anti-missile system that Bush started developing and Obama's continuing to develop is already obsolete before it even gets working. Huge, huge waste of money. All right, that's it for our show today. We'll be back with our Friday show tomorrow. More news, your phone calls. Until then, stay safe, be well, hug your loved ones, drive very carefully. A lot of crazy people on the road today. Watch out for volcanoes, and aloha, America.